utter and complete domination. In a year we will never forget, the Seattle Storm are the team we will always remember. They are your 2020 WNBA champions.
That was 1 year ago, when the Seattle Storm claimed their fourth WNBA title, capping a season that was shortened, then played in a bubble without fans. But this year, as the WNBA celebrates its 25th season, the fans are back, and the playoffs, with its win-or-go-home opening rounds, tip off tonight. So today, ESPN's LaChyna Robinson breaks down one of the most loaded WNBA playoff fields ever and shines a light on where the league can go in its next 25 years. I'm Emily Kaplan, in for Pablo Torre. It's Thursday, September 23rd. This is ESPN Daily. LaChyna, thank you for joining us. And today's a big day. It's the start of the WNBA playoffs. And this is a landmark year because it's the 25th anniversary of the WNBA. So before we get started, let's just remind our listeners what the format for the playoffs is.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me. And I am absolutely pumped for the playoffs. Now, this is where the fun starts.
LaChyna Robinson has covered the WNBA for more than a decade.
The first two rounds of the WNBA playoffs are single elimination games. So it's win or go home, all of the pressure that you could ask for in a playoff round. The top two seeds get byes automatically to the semifinals. Some people see that as unfair, but you do your work in the regular season and you end up in a favorable position. The 3 and 4 seeded teams get byes past the first round. So they do get out of one single elimination game, but they do have to face a win or go home situation before they can make it to the semifinal rounds. Now, the semifinals and the finals are both best of five. And one thing that people forget is that there is reseeding after every round of the playoffs. So the highest seeds or the best teams in the regular season are protected in a number of ways, including rest and favorable matchups throughout.
All right. Well, we have two of those very exciting games tonight, two single elimination games, win or go home. And let's jump in. The first one is the Dallas Wings taking on the Chicago Sky. What's going to be the defining factor in this matchup?
Oh, no doubt the defining factor is what's at stake for each of these teams. I mean, the Dallas Wings are the youngest team in the league, and they come in with pretty much nothing to lose. There is absolutely no pressure on Vicky Johnson's team whatsoever as a 7th seed, and when you consider their youth. Now, that's scary because I call the Dallas Wings the young, wild, and free team of the WNBA. They have respect for their elders in the league, but when they step between the lines, they want all the smoke, and I mean all of it. I mean, that attitude definitely starts with Arike Ogunbowale, who is a young star in the WNBA with her scoring ability.
Ogunbowale with two, throws it up, and three goes!
And her reputation to hit, you know, big shots, which she did at Notre Dame to win the national championship, if you recall that moment.
Ogunbowale for the win! Arike Ogunbowale wins the national championship for Notre Dame.
But she is just a bright star, and this is her first crack at the playoffs, which is scary because, you know, she just loves these moments. She lives for these moments. She was the MVP of the WNBA All-Star Game this year, playing against the Olympic team. She led the league in scoring last year. So her playoff debut is probably the most highly anticipated moment of this first round.
Love the Dallas Wings storylines, but Chicago's got some too because they've got Candace Parker, who famously came home this season, and Courtney Vandersloot. And this is Candace Parker's first postseason with the Chicago Sky. What did she bring to this team and what type of impact has she had on their season?
Well, I mean, Candace Parker is one of the greatest to ever play the game. She's a two-time MVP. She brings the championship pedigree to Chicago, and that's really why they wanted her in the Windy City. This is a Chicago team that has gotten knocked out of that single elimination playoff scenario in the last couple of years, and they want to advance, but they didn't have anyone on their roster in a leadership position that had won a championship and can carry you in those situations the way that Candace Parker can. And opposite of Dallas, Chicago has all the pressure. Being that they have gotten knocked out of those early rounds, bringing Candace Parker in. And when you look at this team on paper, Chicago is stacked. Like, they really shouldn't have to rely on Parker as heavily as they do, though they are 1-8 without her this season when she was out with injury. But this roster with Courtney Vandersloot, who is the best passer in the league right now.
Trying to twist away from Vandersloot, who comes up with a steal. Vandersloot down the floor, ambitiously into the arms of DeShields for two.
Kalia Copper might be their most important player with her defense, her transition game, and just her overall energy. The shooting of Allie Quigley, who's, wow, shooting over 50% from three post-Olympics. I could keep going. Steph Dolson, Diamond DeShields off the bench. You know, all important factors, but this team struggled down the stretch of the regular season, and I'm sure James Wade is just hoping that the best version of the Chicago Sky is the team that shows up on Thursday night because, as we've already said, they're in a win-or-go-home situation.
That's right. And there's another win-or-go-home, too, and that's the game that you're going to be on site for, the New York Liberty facing the Phoenix Mercury in the desert. And you said the Chicago Sky stumbled down the stretch, but these Liberty made the playoffs despite going 2-11 in their final 13 games. So what type of Liberty team is showing up for this postseason?
Well, first of all, I think the Liberty have to feel like luck is on their side, considering the fact that on the last day of the regular season, there were three teams in position to clinch the eighth and final playoff spot. The Liberty was the third of those teams in a tie-breaking scenario. But because Washington lost and LA lost, this eighth spot kind of dropped into the New York Liberty's lap. They have the worst regular season record of any team to make the WNBA playoffs, and this young team really struggled down the stretch of the regular season. So with all that being said, how can they shock the world? They've got to hit three-point shots. I mean, they've hit more threes in the regular season than any other team in WNBA history, 321.
Laney, two-woman game, back out to Ionescu for three, and she hits it! Sabrina Ionescu, a clutch three, and the Liberty back up by eight.
They like to play a five-out style, really spread the floor, and that's going to be necessary against 6'9 Brittany Griner, who takes away looks inside. But they've definitely got to stay true to their identity, knock down those shots. But I'm really super excited to see what the Liberty will do.
Well, you said if they beat them, it's shocking the world. And I feel like when you get a big upset, it typically means a star-making performance or just a star showing up. And the Liberty star, of course, is number one overall pick, Sabrina Ionescu. And she's struggled with injuries in her nascent WNBA career. What type of impact do you expect from her if she's going to propel the Liberty to an upset tonight?
Well, I mean, Sabrina, as you mentioned, she's definitely struggled to start her young career, but you know what she's capable of with her ability to knock down shots and be a great passer and rebound the basketball. I believe the last player to notch a triple-double in their playoff debut was Cheryl Swoops, and that was a long time ago. So if Sabrina does that, it will be a special moment. But I would say that the star for the New York Liberty is actually Banaja Laney.
The walking bucket, Banaja Laney.
Laney makes it look easy.
Yeah.
She's a name that you don't hear very often, but you absolutely should, because in my opinion, she's their best all-around player. She's their leading scorer. She's one of their toughest defenders. She can rebound the ball, pass it. She's a player that's come on really strong in the WNBA the last couple of years, was named an all-star this season, but she has earned her stripes.
Laney, six straight game with 20 points.
And is one of the better stories in the WNBA as a player that really came essentially out of nowhere. Here she is, the star of this team in the Big Apple.
And if we're talking about the Mercury, I can't not mention WNBA icon Diana Taurasi, who is 39 years old, but makes 39 look so damn good. And she's especially dynamic in the postseason. She averages 21 points per game in her postseason career. But she did miss the last four games of the season due to an ankle injury. Now, there's also this incredible stat that boggled my mind. The Mercury are 12-4 when Taurasi plays this season and 7-9 without her. So if she's not able to go or she's not even 100%, how much trouble are the Mercury in this postseason?
First of all, we're talking about Diana Taurasi. Obviously, she could be everyone's GOAT in the WNBA, as we're having this discussion about who that is right now in our 25th season. But I don't know that I ever thought I would say this. I don't think the Mercury are going to be in as much trouble as we would have thought without Diana Taurasi because of the play of Skylar Diggins-Smith and Brittany Griner, who are both having first-team all-WNBA caliber seasons. I mean, Diggins-Smith has shot the ball very well post-Olympics, especially from three.
Working the ball around, great ball movement, Diggins-Smith.
Hi, Arthur.
Along with her improvements on the defensive end of the floor this year, Brittany Griner has been out of this world. She's just been incredible. I mean, attacking the basket, dominating the paint like we've never seen her before. More dunks this season than in any of her previous seasons.
Liberty caught sleeping in a dunk from Brittany Griner.
Leading the league in blocks once again, averaging a career high in rebounds. And when Skylar Diggins-Smith and Brittany Griner in pick and roll situations, they are incredibly hard to defend. And to me, that is the story of this Mercury team, that the growth of their supporting cast this year has been one of the bright spots. So it makes for a little bit of a softer landing without the services of Diana Taurasi, if that is going to be the case.
All right, you've given us so many players, so many storylines. What do you think the defining factor in this game is going to be?
Boy, the X factor. That's what they call the Phoenix Mercury's home crowd. And when they get into it, it can be a lot of fun for the team and for everyone in the arena, except for the visiting team, obviously. I mean, they can get loud and really give them the home court advantage. And I don't know that the New York Liberty, the young New York Liberty, is going to be ready for that playoff environment. I hope we get a great game. But what we saw from the X Factor crowd in their final game of the regular season was really impressive in terms of creating that home court advantage. And sometimes in the playoffs, in a one-game scenario, home court is all you need.
All right. After the break, we'll take a closer look at the rest of the playoff field, including last year's champs, the Seattle Storm, and this year's number one overall seed, the Connecticut Sun.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with the smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured, it was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo, another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
So, LaChina, there's four other WNBA playoff teams who are going to play a little later on. And let's start with last year's champions, the Seattle Storm. They're looking to become the first team to win back-to-back titles since the Sparks in 2001-2002. So what does the road to another championship look like for the Storm?
Unfortunately, the road looks very bumpy for the Storm if they are unable to get 2018 MVP and 2020 Finals MVP Breanna Stewart back into the lineup.
Breanna Stewart is a little gimpy right now. She is bending over and
walking a little gingerly over there.
She definitely had some kind of pain.
She's been dealing with a foot injury. What's the latest on her status?
She will be reevaluated towards the end of this week, I believe, on Friday. And so we're hoping to hear more. But it's going to be a huge blow because there's just no player in the game like Breanna Stewart. At the beginning of the season, most people would not have picked the Storm to be in a position to be playing a single elimination game. And without Stewart, it makes for a heavy lift for everyone else. Now, it does help that Jewel Lloyd has had arguably her best season in the league, coming off a 37-point performance to end the regular season against Phoenix. I mean, she was phenomenal. She had 22 points in the first quarter, matching a WNBA record.
Good look here for 22! Jewel Lloyd, 22 points here in the first 5.5 minutes.
What is going on,
Jewel Lloyd? Jewel Lloyd can carry a team. They also have Jordan Canada back. She missed some time with injury. When she comes off of the bench, she kind of helps the pace of the game and can really pressure the opponent with her defense, which helps as well. And then, come on, they have one of the best to ever do it in Sue Bird. However, I do believe that the Storm's run of the playoffs will be short if they are unable to get Stewart back. If she's unable to play, then first-time head coach Noelle Quinn is going to have to dig way deep into her bag to figure out how to get Seattle out of that single elimination game.
Oof. All right, I don't want to look in the bottom of that bag. But moving over to the Minnesota Lynx, their leading scorer is Nafisa Collier. What has she been like in the postseason?
Well, Nafisa Collier has played 5 games in the playoffs in her young 2 seasons in the WNBA. And what we know is that she takes her game to the next level.
Collier a 3. You bet. Nafisa Collier's first 3 of the night.
Her versatility. She can play, again, inside out, can score. Her defense, I think, has been most impressive to me in the postseasons that we've seen her in. But this is a very intriguing Minnesota Lynx team because the layers have been coming on over time. Obviously, this team is centered around my pick for Defensive Player of the Year and Sylvia Fowles. Now, Ariel Powers, who missed most of the year with a thumb injury, is averaging 19 points per game over her last 6, shooting over 50% from the field, and she is a dog.
The task at hand, and the task at hand for Ariel Powers has been to get to the bucket.
She is just one of those players that intensity level goes sky high when the most is on the line, and she finished so strong in the regular season. Leja Clarendon, their point guard, is back after sitting out with a right fibula injury, and since she's come to the Minnesota Lynx, they've been the best version of themselves. She is a physical point guard, can really get into the paint as needed. She has great chemistry in terms of keeping Sylvia Fowles involved. So just her experience and the vet savviness of Clarendon is also putting them in great position. And then you have Cheryl Reed, who is arguably the best to ever do it with 4 championships leading the Minnesota Lynx.
Next up, the Connecticut Sun, who have made it to the WNBA Finals 3 times, but they have not won a championship, which I think makes them the Buffalo Bills of the WNBA. Is that fair, firstly?
Yes, that's absolutely fair. It's time for Connecticut to win a championship, and this is probably their best opportunity. Boy, I cannot say enough about the job that Kurt Miller has done with this team. When you watch them play, they don't even look like a pro team. They really look like a college team. And I say that with all due respect because this is a team of players that play their role so well. It's hard to pick out the stars from the role players in the lineup because everyone is just so connected. Their chemistry is great. They play on a string. And the player development over time of this group has been where I think Kurt Miller has really done his best work. When you look at a Jasmine Thomas, who is the point guard of this team, but most people wouldn't have picked her to be a leading point guard of the WNBA on a team that's a number one seed, or Breonna Jones, who is probably going to be the most improved player this season of the WNBA, becoming a force to be reckoned with. Dawana Bonner's playing at a high level on the defensive end, which is a new dynamic of her game. And then there's, of course, Jonquel Jones, who we believe is going to be the MVP of the WNBA, going from 6th player of the year, most improved player of the year, and now probably to MVP of the WNBA.
And just yesterday, Jones was named the AP WNBA player of the year, which bodes well for her claiming the MVP award as well. But tell me a little bit more about her story and what makes her so good.
Well, she hails from the Bahamas. She played her college basketball at GW.
Jones on the offensive glass goes back up and finishes. The Bahamian beast in all her glory tonight.
At 6'6", she has a scary on-court resemblance to Kevin Durant.
Jonquel Jones isolating and finishing.
Has some of the skills of a guard like Kevin Durant here with the spin, the fade, knee up.
Just like KD, she can step out and shoot the 3 effortlessly.
Jones, truth, on a 3. A little icing on the cake for Jonquel Jones.
She can handle the ball in the open floor. She can dunk the basketball. She can do so many things on the offensive end that you just don't have a defensive matchup to deal with. She's 4th in scoring in the league this year, 1st in rebounds, 1st in double-doubles, 2nd in offensive efficiency. Shooting 50% from the field. And I just believe that, you know, she waited her time. Yeah, there were high expectations, but it took her a while to develop. And I'm just really in awe of her patience and her stick-to-itness of becoming ultimately the best player she could be, which is the MVP of this league.
I just had to be aggressive coming out tonight. I think that's one of the big ways that I can impact the game, and tonight I wanted to do that.
Now, she has probably the best chance that she has had since coming into the WNBA of winning her first championship alongside what I believe will be her first MVP nod.
When you talk about teams that can win championships, we have to talk about the Las Vegas Aces, because there's a lot to love about that team. Their offense has been the best in the league. Just tell us a little bit about the Aces, DeErica Hamby and Kelsey Plum, and what exactly they have achieved this season.
Well, the Las Vegas Aces is an embarrassment of riches. They're the first team in WNBA history to boast seven players averaging double figures. Bill Laimbeer has such a talented roster. I mean, I believe he has three number one picks, several more lottery picks at his disposal. They are just so talented. And that's what I've said all season about this Las Vegas Aces team, and what sets them apart is that there's no other team that can match them player for player, talent-wise. Now, as far as DeErica Hamby and Kelsey Plum, just a unique situation for both of those players to be coming off of the bench for the Aces. DeErica Hamby pretty much owns the Sixth Player of the Year award in her time in Vegas, but this is probably going to be Kelsey Plum's season to garner the award. And when you look at Plum's journey, she's coming off an Achilles tear last year, so she did not play at all. Sat out, rehabbed. She comes back this year and just has a fantastic season. She wins a 3x3 gold medal. I mean, I don't think anyone could have asked for a better comeback summer for who I would name the comeback player of the year in Kelsey Plum.
And you said it's an embarrassment of riches, and we haven't even mentioned Asia Wilson, the 2020 MVP. How is her season going, and what should we look for her play in this postseason?
I've loved this season for Asia Wilson. You know, started off a little bit slow in the beginning, but what I will say about her game is that when they have needed her the most, she never lets them down.
Asia Wilson, triple team, great through
it. She commands so much when she's going to the basket because she's such a strong talent. But she's able to
Asia is just relentless. I mean, she's got some of the best footwork in the league. She's an outstanding rebounder. And it's hard to believe that she's so young. She was the best player on our Olympic team in her Olympic debut for long stretches this summer. We are discussing the 25 best players in the WNBA right now in this 25th season. And though Asia is not on most of those lists right now, she will absolutely be on that list if we take it in 5 years with the top 30. Though I don't think she'll win the MVP this season due to Jonquel Jones' play, she should definitely be in this discussion because she's had a great year.
Coming up, I want to talk about how the WNBA can continue to grow as it passes the quarter century mark, and I also want your prediction on who we will see in the finals.
When you're on a business trip, you know what completely goes off the rails? Your workout routine, especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups and sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up and power your buys and tries the right way or de-stress with some cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, Latina, now we just got to get big picture right now because we are celebrating 25 years of the WNBA, and you've been covering this league for 14 years, more than half of the league's existence. So you're the perfect person. No, you're experienced, you're seasoned. You told me you like that word. So tell me, in what ways has the league grown? And perhaps more importantly, in what ways do this league still want to grow?
Yeah, wow. The league has grown so much in 25 years, and I think that's been the fun part of this season is getting to reflect on all of those ways, whether it's on the court and just, you know, how dynamic these players are and what they do between the lines. I mean, yes, in the first season, the league was great, but some of the things that the players are doing athletically these days, their skill set, I mean, you would hope that over 25 years, the game would have grown. And you can see that in the numbers in terms of points scored and three-point baskets and how much more that means to the game. So definitely on the court, but also just the overall popularity of the game. And I attribute that to a couple of things. Number one is the players. They have really owned their own personal brands. They've owned their brand as a league, whether it be social justice or speaking out on different things happening in society, or, you know, their love for beauty and for fashion, what they do as parents, as philanthropists, as business owners. I mean, these women have stepped out and used at times even their own social media accounts to really push what's important to them, to show the world that, hey, you know, we need more support for the WNBA, whether that's viewership or sponsorship. And I really believe that's why this league is growing in those ways, is that these women have taken ownership of it themselves and put their brands first. So that's one thing. Now, in terms of where the league may still want to grow, I want these women to get paid more money. I want to say the average salary is in the 100,000s and the max salary is somewhere around 240. So $240,000. Yeah, we're not saying you have to compare it to the men, but I think we can do better. Yep. You know, most of them are getting ready to pack their bags as soon as they're done with their playoff loss and head overseas. It's ridiculous. Like, as much as I love the EuroLeague game and I don't want to take away from what they give overseas, to end your playoff run today and tomorrow be headed to, say, Russia, and your team is already three games into the season, it's crazy. Most of them are doing it for the money. I won't say all of them are. But if they made a better living in the WNBA, hey, they wouldn't have to go overseas. And so that's where the league still needs to grow. Because I think if they were able to get more rest, the quality of the game would increase even more. We could have these players marketing the league and growing it in the off season. So it would just be valuable in so many ways. So it's time for some people, sponsors, you know, step up and put your money where your mouth is and really support these women.
All right, LaChyna, it's a playoff preview. And so I have to ask, who is your WNBA Finals matchup and who wins the championship this season?
Well, listen, here's what I'll say. I do have to call these games, so I don't want to piss anyone off. I would just go with the top two seeds, and that's based on what they've done to get here, the Connecticut Sun and the Las Vegas Aces. I know, I'm going chalk. It's no fun. But I also do believe that these two rosters are best prepared with their depth, with their playing style, to make a run to the championship round. Now, who's going to win? Everyone will have to tune in and watch. I'm not giving away that one. You'll have to just watch the games.
Thank you, LaChyna, for your seasoning, for your expertise, and enjoy the game tonight in Phoenix.
Thank you so much for having me. I always have a blast with you guys. Thanks.
I'm Emily Kaplan. This has been ESPN Daily. And before I hand the mic back over to Pablo, I wanted to let you all know that me and Linda Cohn are hosting a brand new podcast called In the Crease, covering all things in the National Hockey League. We talk to current players, discuss the season's most intriguing storylines, and bring you into the wild and weird hockey world the only way we know how. It's out twice a week, wherever you get your podcasts. And yes, Pablo will be back tomorrow.